listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to this weekly program, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics and related topics like counseling, coaching, healing, and several other areas, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysics courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. There are 9 of them. The first one is, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can read the full content for these principles of belief on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we welcome all those listening to the live program as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate your time, those in the chat room. Tonight we're going to be talking about human sexuality, but from a specific standpoint. Basically, we're going to talk about not fighting human nature within the context of human sexuality. There's various ways that we can fight human nature. Tonight, I kind of want to talk about metaphysical humanism's position on human sexuality. So, and there's some different aspects to it that I want to go into. Basically, the position of metaphysical humanism on human sexuality is that it is a natural, normal function, human function. Sex between people is natural, normal. It is not something to be demonized like the religions do. And, you know, the Abrahamic religions, the, you know, Christians, Muslims, whoever, you know, a lot of them demonize it. And that's why you have so many sexually repressed, you know, religious people like that, because they all feel guilty and all that. However, that doesn't mean that anything goes either. And the basic overriding principle that governs everything that we do is our first principle of belief. Do no harm, do right. So there's no rules or anything here. It's just a principle. Do no harm. So when it comes to human sexuality, what's the rule? Well, it's really a principle. Do no harm, do right. So let's talk about extramarital affairs as an example. Are they okay? Well, it depends on what kind of marriage you have. Do you have an open marriage where both partners are able, by their own commitment, by their own agreement, they're able to step out and see other people? Well, that's an open marriage. If that's the case, then fine, whatever flips their switch. But most marriages are not open marriages. They're closed. So basically married people have a commitment to one another. And it's not just marriages. It can be partnerships. It can be whatever. But if there's a commitment to each other, then, you know, stepping outside of that commitment is not acceptable because it's doing harm. Now, if you're in a relationship and you're tempted to step outside of it, then you need to do some stuff. You need to get out of that relationship because you're obviously not happy in it. So, you know, if you're not happy in a relationship, do the right thing first. Dissolve that relationship. End that relationship. Then go about your business and meeting other people. So you see where that principle of do no harm, do right comes into play. How about another area? How about premarital sex? Well, there is no issue with premarital sex, you know, among consenting adults, of course. You know, we're not talking about children here. We're talking about consenting adults of age. There's no issue with that. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Of course, you know, religion is going to tell you got to be married first, which is frankly a bunch of crap, because sex is a normal, natural human function. It's normal and natural. Again, we need to be smart. Do no harm, do right. So with sex of any kind, you know, yeah, use protection, make sure to guard against disease and unwanted pregnancies. Be smart about it. Use your head. But there's nothing to feel guilty about if you have sex with somebody. Just do the right thing. Be smart. Just do the right thing and be smart about it. And even, you know, kids in their late teens, you know, what are you going to do? They're going to have sex. So steer them in the right direction. Help them to know how to have safe sex and do it properly and not resulting in unwanted pregnancies and disease, things like that. All right, and because you can fight this. In fact, religion's been fighting this for millennia, honestly, and they haven't had a lot of good success because it still keeps going on. Case in point is in the news of late, and frankly, it's been in the news for decades, but it, you know, pops up every now and then. There's this whole clergy sexual abuse thing. You know, and it's, again, it's been going on for decades, and it's been in and out of the news for decades, and it's, right now, it's focused on Catholic priests because they're in, you know, they're forced celibacy, right? They are not supposed to get married or have sex. And I honestly can't fathom what in the world the Catholic hierarchy's got in mind when they're trying to tell everybody they can't have sex. Come on, we all know. We all know what a powerful drive sex is. In fact, Dr. Hunter, you have a saying about you can't think straight if.
Oh, you're in pain, you have to pee, or you're horny.
You got it. I mean, those are natural. Those are natural human functions, right? And what they were thinking in telling their people to not have sex or to get married or anything like that or have partners, have spouses – is ridiculous. It's beyond belief. And then they wonder why they have a problem with the clergy people seeking that outlet, that release, that sexual release. It's ridiculous. You know, it's like the stupidest thing I've ever heard, because you're fighting human nature. And here's the rule, guys. If you fight human nature, you're going to lose every time. Period. You want to fight human nature? Go for it. But you're going to lose every time. So why not work with it? That's something we teach in our curriculum, in our schools. You work with human nature. You don't fight it. You know, people are going to have sex. That's what they're going to do, because that's what people do. It's like I've said this before. You know, why does a dog bark? Because that's what a dog does. Why does a cat meow? Because that's what a cat does. Why do people have sex? Because that's what people do. It's a normal, natural function, human function. So, you know, don't fight it. Work with it. That's the thing. Yeah, and I'm being informed here by my colleagues that dogs and cats also have sex. Yeah. Well, they mate, yeah. So here's the thing about sex. You know, it provides, you know, it's procreation. It's a very powerful, very, very powerful force in human nature. It's there for procreation. It's there for pleasure, showing, expressing feelings and love. And it should be done properly. It should be done without hurting someone, you know. Do no harm, do right. Any comments, Dr. Hunter? Anything you want to add?
Well, my singular approach to this is that we're spirits in a human body. Mm-hmm. So there's a spiritual approach to intimacy, and then there's our biology. And in between, we have a mind that has intelligence. So as, in my view, as metaphysicians, we understand and learn about energy, which is our own energy, and our own rhythms, our own cycles, and our own needs, but also understanding the energy around us and sharing energy. When you were talking about young people earlier, I, having raised three kids, really felt the need not just to tell them all the no's and the bad things about intimacy, but also to talk about the yeses, like enjoying. If you can't talk about it, you ought not to do it. But also that you're now mingling energy with somebody else. So, you know, you go on a date, the next day you don't feel like yourself, it's because you're not. You have somebody else's energy with you. So, you know, there's a lot that goes with that, but the gist is in how we spiritually and physically share ourselves with other people is done with an understanding and some measure of intelligence. So that would be my part of this.
Good. All right. Good. Michael, any comments?
Well, you know, I think when we talk about a lot of these things, it's good to look at the entire context. For example, the Catholic Church and their policy of celibate priests that don't marry. Now, sex is, and celibacy has been involved in religious rituals for many thousands of years, but it was never a rule in the Catholic Church until 1,000 years into the Catholic Church's existence. So there was an entire 1,000 years where the Catholic Church had priests that married, had families, and lived that life, but they kind of put a stop to it because these priests were having children and developing these estates and leaving their estates to their children instead of the church, and that couldn't be had. And of course there were other things that went into it, the notion that Jesus was celibate, which I think if he existed it was kind of a ridiculous notion in and of itself. I mean, and the other aspects of kind of a Victorian, would you say, attitude towards sex, a more puritanical attitude, I honestly think devolves essentially to controlling the man or the husband's genetic line, if you want to look at it from an evolutionary standpoint. And frankly, we've evolved beyond such primitive kind of concepts and things, and we're growing into a more enlightened species, and I think that the things that we've seen in the 20th century, the sexual revolution and the women's liberation and equality movements, are really great steps towards that, and the Me Too movement now is an even more important step. And we're going in the right direction, although sometimes not as fast as we'd like.
Yep, good points. So the thing about human sexuality, it's fine. Just remember, do no harm, do right. You know, and that would obviously preclude child sex or predators or sexual abusers, molesters. You know, that's an absolute no-no. That's wrong. That's harming. In a huge way. So if we use that principle of do no harm and do right, it will guide us. It will help us to know when to do it, when not to. And so whether you're attracted to men, you know, or you're a woman attracted to women, whether you're gay, straight — I hate using straight because that implies that gay is crooked. It's not. Whatever your attraction is, fine. You know, yes, you can take that too far, too. We're not talking about animals, bestiality here. You know, that's beyond. What we're talking about is natural human, the natural human function of sex. And so do no harm. Do right. Don't hurt people. Don't hurt children. You know, and you're good. You know, that's okay. You know, whatever.
I think we live in a primarily dysfunctional society. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, objectified women. And, you know, it's power control. Fran said it herself in the chat, you know, it's about control. And even though people, okay, you're talking about do no harm, do right. Here's the crux to that. Most people believe they're doing right, and it's their right to take, their right to have. And this is part of the correction, I think, in a more civilized society. It's also an awakened society that needs to understand that their right isn't right. Like, and I'm talking about people who've grown up or young kids who have been in abusive situations where they grew up believing that that's what love is. And it's a, you know, part of the therapy to understand that it's not okay to do that, but the message and the mentality is that it is okay. And a good number of the victims become offenders and not understanding what is right.
Yeah.
And so there's, I think, is so many layers and levels of our overall generalized society that could do well with taking a hard look at itself. I know there's a lot of people working on the front lines, lots of people working with, gee, at all levels, whether it's, you know, pro-feminism, equalism, working with young children, working with offenders. Yeah, there's lots of people trying to do the work, but I think socially, and this is just my particular view, as long as women continue to allow themselves to be objectified, there's always going to be the man to objectify her. And so I don't just see this in the movement that we're having right now, like the Me Too movement or, you know, and such. It's also about women learning a greater responsibility. I'm not saying that women should be prudes. That's not what I'm saying. But it's also an understanding that what you wear, how you present yourself, is what you're selling. So there's always going to be somebody there to want what you're selling. You know. Mm-hmm. So I think that at so many levels of our society, to understand sensuality, sexuality, you know, there's this carnal side to us that that those needs to be met. Somebody, for instance, I'm going to use probably improper terminology here, but somebody with a mental dysfunction does not necessarily have discretion. And that's something that relies on other people to tell that individual to say, no, that's not acceptable, because they don't have that kind of discretion. There's other people who have emotional disabilities that they also have to be nurtured and given the boundaries that, no, that is imposing and that's doing harm. But again, we're in this mixed message society that, you know, people are just retaliating and getting mad because they don't know, you know? So.
Yep. Well, those are some good points. And I'm going to throw this out there, too. If you'd like a card pulled from our inner oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room. But I wanted to kind of pick up on something you'd mentioned, and that's respect. You know, it's about respecting yourself, and it's about respecting other people. And you're right. There are some people who have no compass, moral compass that way. We, you know, sociopaths are among them. They have no moral compass or no ethical compass. And so, yes, people say, well, gee, I'm doing what's right for me. But, you know, do the right thing for all concerned. Do no harm, do right for all concerned. And it doesn't take, I don't know, you know, and I'm not going to even go into the psychology of the mental illness that there are out there. I'm basically talking to normal people who can tell between right and wrong, who have that ethical compass. Do no harm, do right, and respect them. It's like, you know, if you're involved with somebody and they say no, you must respect that. Just as if you said no, then the other person must respect that. That's an ethical compass. That's an ethical boundary. and we must do no harm and do right. And if we adhere to that principle, it's going to guide us and guide us well in all the things we do, and especially in human sexuality. Those are good points.
You know, well, Fran chose a card for the room, which is reinvention, number 17.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's kind of in line with what we're talking about, at least in some regard. Mm-hmm. Nothing's more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal. And I think that's what we're kind of talking about, is everybody check in with themselves and, you know, do no harm, do right, and redefine what your principles are.
Good.
All right.
So we've got, so our inner oracle cards are, and most everybody's aware of them or knows about them, but they're basically a set of 54 cards in different suits that talk about our beliefs, the beliefs of metaphysical humanism, and they're also points that are discussed in depth in our curriculum in our schools. So that's what they're all about. All right. So the first card then is for Dr. Edward, looks like.
Michael, do you want to pull one for Dr. Edward, please?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And for Dr. Edward, I pulled number 11, awareness.
Good.
Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, I kid you not, I was thinking, Heather, I have the cards fanned out, I draw a card, and it's awareness.
Well, that's really perfect for the night anyway, isn't it?
It is so. But, you know, I'm going to go ahead and pick another one for you here, Heather. And I have number 3 in the wild card deck, which is blocks. So hopefully you can relate to this in some way. There's a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open. I like it. Okay, we have Tabby up next, Michael.
All right, and for Tabby, I pulled number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Good one. Fran, I pulled number 10 for you, Indomitable Power of the Human Spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. That's a good one. Good message for you today, Fran. Hope you can relate to that as well. Okay, we have William up next, Michael.
All right, and for William, I pulled number 30, Greatness to Deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver.
Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to the nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
It's a good card. I like that card.
Jenny. Jenny. Nice to have you here tonight, Jenny. For you, I picked number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not what's the purpose of life, rather it's what's the purpose of my life. True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or the lack thereof. So it's not always about people. It can be just something like an event or a situation that you're reflecting on. So.
Good. Well, a lot of good points. I think that was the last card.
And actually, just for kicks, I was wondering, Dr. Hunter, if you would pull a card for me.
She's still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't push the mute button. I'm happy to, Michael. I'm just picking out a card now. I wanted to say to everybody, thanks for the feedback, by the way, in the chat room. That's great. Everybody is affirming that they can relate to the cards that are selected. So, and even Jenny saying, thanks, that fits well for me at the moment. So, that's awesome. Michael, I picked number 33 for you, preference in principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of a principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. It's always good advice, no matter to whom and how. It always is. Preference, yield. If it's principle, stand firm.
So. Yeah, good card, good thought.
That applies pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, we've had some good discussion tonight. We talked on metaphysical humanism's position on human sexuality. We talked about reinvention, awareness, blocks, positive consciousness, the indomitable power of the human spirit. We talked about greatness to deliver, meaning and purpose, and the difference between the two, and, of course, the difference between preference and principle. And the overriding principle of all of these is to do no harm and to do right, respect other people, and to live up to your potential in doing all of these different things. We appreciate everybody's time and attention tonight. You know, and if you like what you're hearing about this, you know, spread the word. Tell other people about it, because what metaphysical humanism has to offer is healthy. It's healthy, and it's powerful, and it's life-changing. And that's what this world needs. We don't need a whole bunch of rules that are based on, frankly, stupid things. We need to encourage people to do their best, to walk with their heads high, to do no harm, to do right, to accept and embrace and have tolerance for different beliefs and things like that, different people's ways, remembering that only we can walk our path, and we need to let other people walk theirs and not judge them and not denigrate them. We need to just get on with having a good life and not persist in this hate or tribal warfare or unhealthy religious things. So tell people about it, because that's what this world needs. It really does. Just share the 10 principles of belief. They're very healthy. It's about the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet, because we don't teach to worship anyone. We just teach to look within yourself and to find that power within yourself. So, again, thanks to everybody. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and to Michael as well for being here tonight. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.